But endurance is hard, isn't it? Keeping going right till the end can be very difficult. Our Bible reading talks a bit about that. Rob is going to read from Hebrews 10, 20 to 39. And I think I might mute you.
It's all right.
You have to unmute you.
Reading from Hebrews chapter 10, starting verse 26. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Remember those earlier days, after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possession. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved.
Thank you, Rob. So this is our final part of Hebrews before we break our Advent series, and is about encouragement. So the challenge for you today is to create something that shows what has encouraged you during this year, during the lockdowns and the, you know, isolations and whatever we've had to endure. What is it that has encouraged you to keep going? You can draw it, you can write down lots of things, you can create, make, you can do a little play at the end if you'd like. Anything. So what is it that has encouraged you to keep going during this most difficult time that we have faced recently? That's your challenge as you listen to what is said. Do you know, perseverance by its very definition is hard, isn't it? To keep going when things are not as we would want them to be can be really difficult. And here in the book of Hebrews, from the sketchy history and the limited context that we have, it would seem that the first readers of this letter are struggling to persevere. They're finding life hard. Due to their commitment to Jesus and their culture, which is counter to this, they're under a great deal of pressure. And it seems that they are tempted to turn from their faith in Jesus back to what they knew before, back to their Jewish roots that we've talked about, their rituals and their laws and their sacrifices. And so during this letter, the author has been seeking to highlight the superiority of their faith in Jesus compared to their Jewish roots, which culminates in the chapter we read today, where there is a call to perseverance, to keep going in their walk with Jesus. Now, at first, this passage starts with a word of encouragement. We heard this last Sunday. It begins with phrases such as "draw near to God," "hold unswervingly to the hope we profess," "he who promised is faithful." They're told to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. At first, this passage begins with encouraging words, words that help, that assist, that would enable someone to pick themselves up and go again when they're finding things difficult. All things that I'm sure we would equate with encouraging someone, all things that motivate. But then, partway through this passage, following this plea to draw close to God and to keep meeting together to encourage each other, suddenly it seems the author changes tack. And instead of encouragement, as part of this call to persevere in faith, we find a warning. And not just any warning, but quite a severe warning, one that speaks plainly of rejection and judgment. One that, in the words of the Message Bible, says, if we give up and turn our backs on all we've learned, all we've been given, all the truth we now know, we repudiate Christ's sacrifice, and are left on our own to face the judgment, and a mighty, fierce judgment it will be. Which seems strange that following the earlier words of great encouragement and motivation, we now find these words of fear or doom or even discouragement for some people. Not exactly words to inspire and motivate people to carry on. So why are they here? Why, towards the end of a book that has held up the qualities of Christ and the wonders of all that he has done, do we suddenly turn to the fear of judgment as seeming motivation to keep going? Well, first of all, I guess we probably need to know what the author is really talking about, or maybe, to be more precise, what he's not talking about. We know, for instance, that in his warning of judgment, he's not simply talking about people making mistakes. He's not saying that if followers of Jesus wander from the truth or question God or have a bad day or a bad week or bad years, that they are doomed to judgment and condemnation. He's not telling the reader that all is lost if they simply slip up on their journey with Jesus. Instead, he's talking about something much more serious. We know this because he once again refers to Moses and the Jewish law and the sacrificial system that came before Jesus, a system that, as we have said, was set up not to get rid of sin, but to keep the relationship with God going until sin could be forgiven. So subsequently, as part of this system, there was an understanding that people would sin, that they would turn their backs on God in the way that they spoke and behaved towards him and towards each other. And more importantly, if this happened, there were things in place that could deal with that. People weren't doomed because they made a mistake, or hundreds of them. They simply had to engage with the process of animal sacrifice and rituals, because that's why it was there, to restore their relationship. Even for unintentional or accidental sins, they could be restored. If you want to find out more, take a look at the book of Leviticus. You know, maybe grab a coffee or something stronger, because it's quite heavy going, before you sit down with it. You see, the point of the sacrificial system was to cover all sins that would be committed, those done deliberately and those that people didn't even realise that they had done. So the problem only came when people chose to walk away from this system, when they denied what God had put in place to sustain their relationship. Because if they chose not to believe the system, then they had nowhere to go to be restored. Nowhere to go to mend their relationship with God. And so, as it says in this passage, anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy. Not because God was unmerciful, but because if they rejected the place where mercy could be found, there was really nowhere else for them to go to get it. And so here in this call to persevere in the book of Hebrews, the author is saying that if this was the way with the law of Moses, if these were the consequences of turning your back on the sacrificial system that God gave to his people, how much more terrible would it be if people turn their back on the Son of God? Not if people made mistakes or messed up or accidentally sinned, not if people struggled or went through times of questioning God or doubting his promises, but rather how much more terrible is it if people decide to deny that Jesus is the one who forgives and restores in the first place? Or as it says here, how much more terrible is it if people deny the blood of the covenant that sanctifies them? Because if we deny the one, the only one who can offer grace and forgiveness, the only one from whom true forgiveness comes and grace is poured out, then there really is in all the world nowhere else to go to find it. There really is in all the world no hope at all of forgiveness and grace. And so it really is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, if you have deliberately and continually rejected his grace and love and turned away from that place of forgiveness. Because how can you persevere without this lifeline? And so in this call to persevere in following Jesus, the author offers not just words of encouragement, but a warning not to turn our backs on God. Not because he wants to scare his readers into submission, but because he knows that the only way to persevere in faith, the only way to keep going, is to understand that not only do we need to draw close to God, but we also need to come back time and time again to his grace. Because we all sin. We all fail. We will all make terrible, terrible mistakes. So we need to constantly rely on his forgiveness and his mercy and his sacrifice to pull us through when we simply cannot keep going on our own. This is not a weakness, it's how things are as human beings. And so as we seek to persevere in our faith today, it's important that we take heed of this message, especially in the times in which we live, which are hard. Hard in many ways, but they're also hard for us because we do not easily have access to the encouragement and the togetherness we usually have. And so without the grace of God, without the forgiveness and the love and the strength that comes from a relationship with Jesus, however fragile and shaky we believe our relationship to be at times, we have nowhere else to go. And we simply cannot and will not be able to keep going. So let's not be tempted to give up on our struggle to keep going with God. Let's not be tempted to believe that God cannot and will not bring us through the other side of our difficulties. Let's not turn from the only one who can restore us again and again and again. But instead, in our weakness, as this passage calls us to do, let us turn all the more to him, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, so that we might find the strength we need each day to persevere. You know, we don't often have times, I imagine, when we sit down and really think about how we are with God, times when we come back to him and ask for his forgiveness. We don't always do that in a service as you would maybe in an Anglican church where you have a time for that each week. And so I thought we'd put aside a bit of space today to maybe have that time. The book of Hebrews earlier on, as we've read in chapter 4, says this: let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, after this section of warning, of course, there is also a final bit of encouragement in this passage, as the author urges his readers to keep going. First, he tells them to look back at the times when things have been difficult in the past, to look back at the suffering they've had before, when they were persecuted in public, when they stood by others, when they were left homeless, all because of their faith in Jesus. And he tells them to recognize that God pulled them through that, and he will also pull them through this. And secondly, he encourages them to look ahead, that as they gain encouragement from God's faithfulness in the past, they can also look ahead to his promises of the future, that one day things will be better, that one day things will be right. Or as it says here, in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. So that whatever their situation, there is a future hope. It reminds me of a saying that has appeared in a number of films and has been attributed to a number of people, including John Lennon, which says this: everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. And, you know, as we travel down the path we are in at the moment, as we seek to keep going with God, we can look back at his faithfulness in the past, and we can look forward to his promises of the future, and we can gain encouragement from his grace and forgiveness today. But we can also know without doubt that this is not the end, and that one day everything will be okay. In fact, it will be much more than okay. It will be wonderful. And that for now, our call is simply to keep going, to keep persevering, to keep going on with God. And by keeping going, to show those around us that even in the darkest of times, there is always hope, because God is always with us. So I wonder what things encouraged you during this time, during, I don't know how many months it's been. I created a coronavirus folder on my computer to put all the talks and that in. I thought it would be like tiny, but it's actually bigger than a lot of my other files on computer now, because it's gone on for so long. But let's see, let's unmute you. What has been your encouragement during this time? Has anyone done anything? Oh, we've got a few pictures. Here we have a picture. Heather, you have a picture. Do you want to talk us through your picture?
I loved spending time in the garden during this time. So excellent. That's a picture of our garden. Nice. We've got a lovely cherry tree next door, sort of comes over into our garden. It's very pretty. I mean, we had nice weather in lockdown as well.
Wonderful. Excellent encouragement. Anyone else got anything? Oh, we've got Mal. Yeah.
Sorry. It's not artwork or anything. It's just all the time, hope for the future. And I'm convinced all the time that God is in control. It just kept coming back to me every now and again.
Wonderful. Thank you, Val. Excellent.
Both encouragement as well from the amount of people that have been helping and looking out for each other.
Yes, yes.
So as we go from here to the breakout rooms or to the next room, wherever we may go, may we know that we are not alone. May we know that not only does God walk with us, but we are in this together. And may we be people who gain encouragement from that and also seek to encourage each other. And may God bless us and keep us. and walk with us always. Amen.